In Ohio, the night before Gideon Day, and up in Ohio, they pretty much came out all on the same Sunday. And that Saturday, they would have a dinner, and all the pastors were invited, and it was a dinner for pastors and their wives. Carol and I, as often as we could, went. We loved the Gideon ministry. And we would have a great time sitting with them and chatting and talking together, getting to know these guys. And I have met and been around enough of them to know this. They are obsessed with sharing the Word of God in every place that they can get their foot in. At the end of that dinner, and they always had a keynote speaker, they'd bring in a heavy hitter from somewhere, and somebody would come in and give a very inspirational talk about the Gideons. But at the very end, they would take an offering. And we were not allowed to give. They would not take a penny. And just the Gideons gave. And I'll never forget the joy on their faces as they wrote those checks and put them in. You see, these guys not only believe in the ministry of sharing the Bible, but they support it with their efforts and with their money. And so they're just great people to be around. It's a joy to have Ernie with us today. I told him just come and talk about whatever he wants and talk as long as he wants. So Ernie, just come and share with us. And we're thankful to have you with us today.
Bless Thank you, Brother Scott. I appreciate those kind words he just shared about the Gideons. And I have to say, it is an honor and a privilege, number one, to serve the Lord, number two, to be a Gideon, because we only have one goal in mind, is reaching the lost. We, right now, the Gideons has just reached the 1st of June, the 2 billion mark. That means we have given out 2 billion Bibles in the last 120 years. Believe me, folks, and you know as well as I know, there's still a lot to do. And the time is coming where we're coming down to the end. We got to reach as many people as possible. Now, the Gideons has been placing Bible, as I said, for approximately 121 years. And I don't know of anybody that witnesses and gives out Bibles the way a Gideon does. And we have 196,000 Gideon members. We have 106,000 auxiliary members. An auxiliary member is a Gideon's wife. They want to contribute their times and efforts just like the men do. And they go out and they reach hospitals, nurses, and they go out with their husbands and pass out Bibles absolutely everywhere. We have blitzes in a lot of major cities like New York, LA, Dallas, Chicago, even little old Fort Myers down here, where their Gideons come in from around the country and they go out on the streets and they pass out these little Gideon Bibles. And everybody knows there's nothing more powerful than God's word. In Isaiah 55:11, he says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void." And believe me, and Brother Scott agree, it will not return to him void. I could tell you, and I have many, many testimonies of people that how this has changed their life. It's absolutely amazing. And to give you some idea that, and I just heard this testimony last week, and it really touched my heart. In fact, this is close to us here. There was an individual in Miami, Florida. He was a big, big, big drug dealer. He was a big man, too. I mean, he's just a big, rough, and tough guy. And like everything else, you know, your sins will find you out. You break the law, you know, you got to do the time. So he was in prison, and he was sitting there. He just got out of a fight with one of the inmates there. And so they locked him up in a cell, and he was sitting there on the floor with his head down, just mad as a hornet. Well, there's a young man come walking by, dressed pretty much like I am, shirt and tie, coat, and had a Gideon Bible. And he looked over at that cell of that man, and he said, "Sir, looks like you need prayer." And this big old robust guy, he lifted his head up, and he says, "You think so?" He says, "I'm pretty sure you do." He said, "But I'd like to share something with you." And he said, "What do you have to share to help me?" Now, here's a man that has made multi-millions of dollars as a drug dealer. I mean, he was filthy rich. He's well known in Miami. And he said, "Well, okay, what do you have that I don't already have?" He said, "Well, I have the Lord Jesus Christ, and you could have him too. And let me just show you and share with you a few scriptures right here to prove to you that you need Jesus Christ." And so he kind of thought a minute, and he says, "Okay, I don't have anything else to do." So this young man, when I say young man, about my age, and he started witnessing to this fella, and he started showing him scriptures, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit hit him like a ton of bricks. And here's a guy that you would think would never get saved. And I've seen this guy, and he is huge, probably 6'8", 300 pounds. You really wouldn't want to meet up with him on the street, believe me. So the young man got him to bow his head, and he said the sinner's prayer. He accepted Jesus Christ in his heart, and that's all. But he knew that he sinned, and he's got to pay for that sin. So he served his time on out in prison, and got out of prison. And while he was sitting there, he read this little Bible all the way through it, and seen that this is the best guide he'll ever have. And he now not only received Christ as a Savior, he has totally turned his life around for God. All he wants to do is to serve God by telling people his testimony. How a Gideon fella walked into that jail cell and passed out a Bible. And he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned his life around just like that. And now he has become a new creature. It's amazing. It's amazing that we pass out this Bible, and every day, every 3 minutes of a day, somebody is receiving this little Bible. And we get emails all the time. It's in our monthly magazine of how many people gets one of these Bibles and accepts the Lord Jesus the Lord Jesus Christ, and their whole life is transformed to a new creature. Amazing. Now, some people say, well, Brother McCoy, why you do this? I do it for the Lord, number one. Number two, what is our great commission? To go out in the highways and the byways. But it took a while for God to get my attention. And so once he got my attention, I got in the Gideons. I said, wow, this is the greatest organization I've ever seen. But I want to share with you my own personal testimony. And it's not only a personal testimony, it is a miracle from God. In 2007, I was having a lot of dizzy spells, and so I went to the doctor, and after I boogled a bunch of tests, they told me that I had a nephrotic artery that was 97% blocked. Need to get this fixed, may have a stroke. It's okay. So I went down to the Winter Haven Hospital, and there was a surgeon there. He said, well, we'll take care of it. This was on a Monday. So he went in there and repaired the artery. That was on a Monday. On a Friday, after I went home the following day, the doctor told my wife that he needs to be watched for a couple of days. Someone needs to be with him, make sure everything's okay. So on Friday morning, she decided, well, I think you're going to be okay, so I'm going to return back to work. So she did. And she called me that morning to check on me and see how I was doing. And I told her, you know, around 10 o'clock, oh, I'm doing great. 12 o'clock, she called me again. Say, Ernie, how you doing? So I'm doing good. Hung up the phone. I know it wasn't 3 minutes. All of a sudden, the little place they had that surgery on my neck, you ever seen a water hose that's turned on and under pressure? That water hose just swells right up like a golf ball. Well, that's what happened to my neck. And so I went and looked in the mirror. I said, ooh, that don't look good. And before I could even do anything, next thing I know, there was a little stream of blood shooting out like a water pistol. And so I said, just don't look good. So I tried to put my finger on there to stop the bleeding. So I was going to go in there and call my wife. Hey, you better take me to the doctor. So just as I grabbed the phone to call her, the thing busted just like a water hose. And that little stream of blood went to a gushing of blood. I mean, every time my heart beat, you could just see the blood just pump out of your body. And so I said, I'm in big trouble. So I had a portable phone, and I was holding the phone. And believe me, there was so much blood coming out. It covered the phone. I couldn't even see the keypad on the phone. I said, this is not good. So then instead of calling her, I tried to call 911. And I was just feeling to see where those numbers were at. And So finally, I just gave up on it. Apparently, I hit 911, and they was recording that call. But I was in the house at that time, and I made myself out of the house. And right down the street from me is the fire department, right here in Auburndale. And the only thing I know to do is holler for help. And they were building a house over here next to ours. And so by that time, I was getting real weak because I had lost so much blood. And, you know, it's amazing how God's got timing around everything. And as I went out and hollered for help, the fire chief was just pulling into the fire department parking down there, and he heard somebody that sounded like they were in big trouble. And but all he could see, because of trucks and so forth parked next door to me with the construction going on, he didn't think, well, it must be those construction workers down there. But then he said, well, maybe I just might better ride down there and see. Well, by that time, I have lost so much blood, I was getting weak. And I sit down on the driveway there, and I look down to my side and just seen just a river of blood just going down the driveway. And I said, well, I guess this is the way I'm going to die. This is how the Lord's going to take me. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay back on the driveway, and I'm going to talk to God, and I did. And I said, Lord, if you want to take me now, I'm ready. But this is going to be hard on my wife and kids. And so I'm asking you, Lord, that if you will save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And all of a sudden, I passed out. I didn't know if I was living or dying. And so when I came to, that fire chief was standing over me, holding my neck, trying to stop the blood from flowing out of my body. And a few minutes later, the whole fire department was there. I think the Auburndale Police Department was there. They were questioning these Mexican workers next door because they thought, the police thought, they came over there and cut my throat and robbed me. And so the paramedics got there. They started working on me. And paramedic says, let's fly him to Tampa. No, he'll never make it. He'll be dead before he gets there. And so they said, well, all right, we'll take him to Winter Haven. And two or three of the firemen over there said, I hate to tell you this, he's not even going to make it to Winter Haven. And as you well know, how many units of blood you got in your body. I was down to my last unit. God created a blood clot, which I was on blood thinners. And the blood clot came and went right to that hole that was busted and stopped the bleeding. Now, I came to and immediately, I just had every assurance under the sun that I was going to be okay. I could actually feel God's arms around me and him saying, you're going to be fine. They loaded me up in the ambulance, took me to the hospital, and my doctor that did surgery was on his way flying out of Orlando to Nashville, Tennessee, to his dad's funeral. So he told the nurse, he'll be dead the time I get back. So there was another doctor on call, and he was a Christian man. And thank God for Christian doctors, I tell you. Any doctor that's a Christian, he can see me anytime. Well, anyway, he came into the emergency room, saw me, and I was still conscious, even though I'd lost all that blood. He took me into surgery, him and his three nurses, which, by the way, were Christians too. And during all this time, my wife had no idea what was going on with my two daughters. And finally, one of the police officers found my cell phone, called my brother in Atlanta, which called my granddaughter in Lakeland, which a granddaughter in Lakeland called her mother, which her mother then called my wife. You better go check on Papa. He's in the hospital and he's not doing good. So by the time they got there, they had no idea what was going on, what was happening. The doctor came out 3.5 hours later, and my pastor was there. And the first thing he said, I'm going to tell you folks something. I've heard of 1,000 cases of these arteries busting open like this, but I never heard of one where they survived it. Now, we got on our hands and knees in the operating room, and we prayed for Mr. McCoy here that God would spare him. And he's only here today because of God. Yeah, wow. And that was quite a testimony. In fact, everybody here in Auburndale pretty much still know that. But I said that to say this. I got over my problem, and as soon as I got back on my feet, I started looking for a Gideon camp. And I found one right here in Auburndale. So I went to that camp one Saturday morning, and I asked these guys, look, what do you have to do to be a Gideon? And they told me. Well, I joined the Gideons because I knew that there is no better place to be to witness for the Lord and to pass out his word than to be a Gideon. So I knew God spared me for a purpose. He spared me because since I've been a Gideon, I have given out myself 35,000 Bibles, and we give them out to schools. We give them out to hospitals, nursing homes, motels. We go on to military bases and give them out. We go into the prison system and give them out. In fact, we're going this October to Polk Correctional Institute. We go over there every 2 years and give out Bibles. Of course, we really like it over there because we're working with a captive audience. We know they're not going to run off, and they're going to take a Bible or else. So we virtually go anywhere we can go. And I've seen in the last 4 years how God works through, number one, his word, number two, the Gideons. I try to give out a Gideon. In fact, I think there's Publix down here in Auburndale. I think every bag boy and bag girl has got one of these now. They're not allowed to take a tip, so I give them $1, and I'll stick it in there, and I say, I'm going to give you this. But we're not allowed to take a tip. So I'm not giving you a tip. I'm giving you a Bible. Let's see what's in it. And so they all got a Bible. So I try to give these out anytime, anywhere that I can. And that's what it's going to take to change this world. There's a young lady that goes to our church. She's not 17 now. She's in her 50s. But she told me, and she is from the Philippines, that a Gideon walked up to her and gave her one of these little Bibles. And because of this little Bible, she has come to know the Lord, changed her life. She serves God, and she does all she can do to serve the Lord in her church. When she got this Bible and she accepted the Lord, she wrote the Gideons International and said, can you tell me how I can get some more of these Bibles? And there happened to be a Gideon representative in the area, and they went out to where she was at, and they gave out over 100 Gideon Bibles. her whole entire family of 57 people were saved. And then she had another 50 friends that accepted the Lord because of this Bible right here. So you see what the Gideons are doing? What they're doing is one of the most greatest efforts that anybody can do, other than your pastor, standing in this pulpit every chance he gets, preaching the word. Anything that anybody can do any better than this right here. And we're trying to reach souls. We're trying to change lives. And just like God worked a miracle in my life, he's working a miracle through the Gideons for changing lives every day. And our goal this year, we gave out last year 84 million Bibles. That's a lot of Bibles. Our goal this year is to give out 120 million. And the only way we can do that is with people like y'all. And we do appreciate y'all's support. You've been a great church and the way you love the Gideons and support the Gideons. And there's only two ways that you can help the Gideons. Number one is through giving. And believe me, every dollar that you give, and this little testament right here cost $1.35 to print. And we give them out by the millions each year. Now, we have a full-size Bible, which if you've ever been in a motel, you've seen them. And then we have a New Testament large print Bible that we give out to nursing homes. Those that are not there yet will see that one day you'll need a larger print Bible. And this here is kind of small. You got to have good eyes. But giving them to the kids and passing them out. We pass them out at all the universities here in the state of Florida. Pass them out, not allowed on the school grounds, but we pass them out at the public schools here in Polk County, and we have to stand off school property and give them to the kids as they complete their school day and pass them out. And the reception, believe it or not, is just phenomenal. Very, very few kids or adults are disrespectful and don't give me one of them. Just this year alone, we was over at USF. We gave out 8,600 Bibles to students. And we don't know if they're reading these Bibles or not. Yeah. Our March edition of our monthly Gideon magazine, inside that magazine, there was a testimony of a young man that accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior because there was a Gideon gave him a Bible. And now that he has accepted Christ as his Savior, he is leaving USF and going to Bible college to see how he can serve the Lord. So this makes a difference. This makes a difference. And with all the bad news that we got this week, the only thing that's going to change is this right here in prayer. And I think everybody agrees to that. So now I really appreciate being here this morning and sharing that God is doing everything doing through the Gideon ministry. And on behalf of the Gideons locally and the Gideons International, I want to thank you for your support and your support and prayers that you will continue to uphold the Gideon missionaries until the Lord returns. And I want to thank you all for having me this morning and for the time you've given me. And it has been a blessing to be here. And this time I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Scott and let him do what he's best of doing. Thank you.